All right, Luke the 24th chapter. And I want to read just a little here, and I'm going to read several places tonight. Fine. But before even reading the scripture, let's just bow our head and ask God's blessing upon the Word. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to You now, God. We just come, Lord, realizing that it's Your Word. And Lord, as has been said by a mighty man of God, that You are Your own interpreter. You come and You interpret Your Word when You bring it to pass and make it live. I pray, God, that You'll grant this tonight. In the name of Jesus, not only bless us with the anointing to speak, but Father, I pray that You'll bless the hearers, O God, and give us all ears to hear. Give us spiritual eyesight. Enlighten us, Lord, and open the Scriptures to us, we pray. We'll be careful to praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Alright, we're starting here in the book of Luke, and the reason I'm starting here in the book of Luke, in the 24th chapter, it just shows how things can be right around you and happening, and you be there when it's happening and where it's happening and being part of the happening of it and still don't even know about it until He come and open your eyes, and then you can see. And so we'll pick up here after the crucifixion of Jesus, the resurrection, how it took place. We'll start in Luke 24:1. It reads like this: Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. This is the ladies here, the little Mary Magdalene, different one coming. Now I want you to watch on the first day of the week. In the Old Testament, the Sabbath day, that's the seventh day, it was the rest day. But Jesus Christ rose on the first day of the week and made a new beginning. Amen, which is our Sunday, you know. Amen. The old Sabbath is Saturday. That's the Jews still keep it today, but it was a type of the rest. And the resurrection took place on the first day of the week, which is our Sunday. So therefore, from henceforth, the Christians, they begin to worship on the first day of the week. Paul said, let everyone lay aside as God has blessed them on the first day of the week, and so on. So the first day of the week is Sunday, and it's not the Sabbath. Amen. You know, today we hear people say, no, you shouldn't work on the Sabbath, you know. Well, they're talking about Sunday, but actually, Sabbath isn't Sunday at all, it's Saturday. And that was in the Old Testament. The first day of the week, Sunday, amen, that's the day that Christ resurrected and came forth from the grave, and that's the day we usually worship Him and come together in His house. So here the ladies went to the tomb. And I want you to know here, the ladies got, they were ahead of the men in the New Testament. Amen. And what God did for the ladies in the New Testament was much different than in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, we get a picture about from reading the Word of God, and we see the ladies in the Old Testament, they serve on a lower level than the man. Amen. And that because Eve became one with a lower creature and sold her kind out to a lower level than mankind. Therefore, in the Old Testament, a man could have 40 wives if he wanted, and not one of those women could have another husband. Amen. Because she could not become one in true equality with a man because she sold herself out to a lower... Eve sold womankind out to a lower... species, which was none other than the serpent, which was much like a man. See? Amen. But in the New Testament, see, Mary undone what Eve did. See? Amen. When the angel Lord came to Mary and said, thou art highly favored, you know, and blessed of the Lord, and all, and said, you are favored in the eyes of God, and you'll conceive and bring forth a child, and he shall be called Emmanuel, you know, the God-man. And we find that took place in the New Testament. Mary said, be it unto me according to thy word, see. Eve disbelieved the word, and sold woman to a lower trained than man. Eve did this. Mary believed God and picked woman back up that she can be equal with man. Amen. So in the New Testament, a woman has the same claim on the man that the man have on the woman. See, that's reading in the Old Testament. In every country where they don't accept the New Testament, they still have believe in polygamy and have many wives. But if they ever come into the New Testament and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, they'll see that God has honored the woman. Amen. Brought forth His Son through the woman and lifted up the woman. Amen. That she'd become equal with a man. Amen. The authority, the leadership's always been the man, even before the fall. So the leadership's still man, but the woman is equal and has just as much claim on the man as the man has on the woman. The Bible says there in Corinthians there that the man has not authority over his body but the woman. And the woman has not authority over her body but the man. That's 1 Corinthians 7 chapter. So we're in a different ball game altogether than in the Old Testament, say. Amen. And it says render to each accordingly, you know. All right, but so enough on that. But I want to show you, it was the ladies came to the tomb on the first day of the week. And verse 2 it says, and they found the stone rolled away from the grave. Or sepulchre. Means grave. And they entered in and found not the body of Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Angels. And they were afraid, and I don't blame them, I would be too. And bowed down their faces to the earth, and they said unto them, the angel said this, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. And remember how he spake unto you when you were yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered unto the hand of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and they returned unto the seven and told these things unto the 11 and all the rest. Now let's see who it was at the tomb. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed not. Amen. You see that? That was a ladies' year. They got there and they found Jesus gone. The two angels then met with the ladies, and they went to the apostles to tell the apostles about them. The apostles said, oh, you bunch of silly women. You don't know what you're talking about. There's nothing to it. That's just idle tale. We don't believe you. What God was doing here, God does everything for a reason, doesn't he? He was letting us see that there's difference now in the women in the New Testament than in the Old. See, God came to them first. Amen. Enlightened them first. And even gave them the revelation first. And they went to the apostles first. Amen. And told them what had happened at the tomb. Amen. So he's showing that a woman's picked back up on the same level with man, and God would deal with the women as well as the man. In the Old Testament, a woman had to get everything she did in it, had to do it in the realm of more or less like a servant. Amen. But now she's picked back up on the level, and God's coming to her. He's honoring the female species here. Amen. In that he came to her first. Amen. He revealed, first of all, that Jesus raised from dead, and he even let them go take words to the apostles. Amen. So you see, he's leveling things out for you. Alright, verse 12 says, then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, behold, a linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which had come to pass. In other words, Peter said, You know, they just might be telling the truth, you know. You know, it could be right. He might actually be raised from dead. He's not there, you know. See, Peter left wondering about these things. Verse 13 says, "And behold, two of them that same day, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they came and they talked together all these things which had happened." In other words, that was their discussion. They're talking about what was going on. "And it came to pass, while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them." Now watch, here's where the revelation began to break. Jesus drew near and went with them, but their eyes were a whoring that they should not know him. Now I want you to note this. This thing is of God, folks. Whether you see it or whether you don't, amen. It takes God to give you eyesight. It takes God. God can hide it or God can reveal it. See? And so here Jesus came walking right with the disciples, two of them on the way to him, and they had no idea who he was. Amen. Because they just didn't recognize him. Alright. And verse 17 says, "And he said unto them, What manner of communication are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And one of them said unto one of them whose name was Cephas, answered, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not thou known these things which have come to pass in these days?" In other words, man, you know what's going on? All these things been going on. You a stranger here. You don't know about this. And watch what he said. And this being Jesus himself, raised from dead, he won't see what they're going to do. Verse 19, it says, "And he said unto them, What things? What are you talking about? What do you mean, what things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him." Notice who crucified Jesus. The religious leaders, the priests, the religious leaders. There, they crucified him. There were the most holy city in the world. Who? The most holy people in the world. Crucified who? The most holy person in the world. There they crucified him. Amen. The priests, and they still doing it today in a spiritual form. They crucify the Word. And he's the Word. Alright. Have you not heard what they did to him? They're saying here how they're living them dead. That's verse 20. And verse 21 says, "But we trust that it had been," and here's what they're saying, "we thought this was going to be the Messiah, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women," now they're going to make fun of the women, what they said, you know, "they were at the tomb, and the angel came to him," and I want you to watch this. Here, what it says. "Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. When they found not his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive." Now I want you to notice that. These women, a bunch of women went over to the grave and they came to us saying, "He's alive." You know, they made us astonished. They said they had a vision. They didn't say they had a vision. They told them that was two angels, two men in shining apparel, came and stood. But here, these apostles, they halfway kind of making fun of what the women said. That's about them women, they went on, they said they made us astonished. You know. Alright, and he continues on here. It says, then he said unto, all right, certain said the same angel, verse 23, get verse 24, and certain of them which were here with us went to the sepulcher and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. In other words, they saw he weren't there, but they didn't see him. And then verse 25, then said he unto them, O fools, and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets had said, ought not Christ to have had to suffer these things and have entered into his glory? And watch what he did, verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, which they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. In other words, Jesus playing a little game with him here. He made as though he was going on further, you know. He said, well, you guys go ahead, I'm going to go on down the road, see? Amen. They had no idea it was him. But I want you to, I'm bringing this in to show you how God can open our eyes. He can close our eyes, or he can open our eyes. See, he made as though he would go further, you know. In verse 29, but they constrained him. In other words, they say, hey, it's getting dark. Hey, come on, stay with us, see. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward the evening. The day is far spent, and he went in to tarry with them. Amen, he was planning on it anyway. He just wanted to see what they would do. Amen. I love the way Jesus does things, don't you? He makes it exciting, doesn't he? Amen. He makes things exciting the way he does. He said, now you guys go ahead. I'm going on down the road. They said, no. It's getting dark. It's nearly night. Come. You stay with us, see? All right. Watch what he's done. All right. And it came to pass. They went on in. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, sat down to eat, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it unto them. And the bread's the word of God. He blessed it and brake it and give it to us. It says, and their eyes were open and they knew him and he vanished out of their sight. Amen. I'll tell you, that was quite a day for those folks, wasn't it? Amen. All of a sudden, talking to this guy here, amen, walking there, he had no earthly idea who he was. But when they compel him to come in and eat and come in to abide with him, and I like the fact that he made as though he was going on, you know. Amen. I like that about the story. And then when he blessed the bread and broke it, their eyes was open. See, they knew him. See, that's the way he can hide things and he can reveal it, can't he? See, up here at the first part of this chapter here, or verse 16, when he joined himself to them to begin with, verse 16, let's look what it says. And their eyes were holen, and they knew him not, see. They had no earthly idea who he was, because he just didn't want them to know it. But down here, verse 31, and their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And here's what they said after he was gone. Now, no doubt it took them a few minutes to regain their composure and all after this great thing took place. So then watch what happened here. Verse 32, it says, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us as he talked with us by the way? And while he opened to us the scripture. In other words, he begun at Moses and explained all the scripture, what they meant. Verse 33, it says, and they arose up the same hour. It was late in the evening, but that made no matter to them, see. They were going to trot right back the way they came. They'd walked all day long, but they was going to run back. Amen. I'll tell you, the Holy Ghost can give us energy, can't he? That's why David said, I ran through a troop and I leaped over a wall. All it takes just a good revelation. You can begin to dance and shout and praise God. You can be dead tired. Amen. The Holy Ghost get on you and it give you rest. Amen. Make you feel good, can't you? So when this happened to them, amen, they went right back the way they came. And I'll bet they ran every step of the way. Amen. See, I love the way Jesus does things. Now watch it, as it said. And they arose up the same hour. They might not have even taken time to eat. And returned to Jerusalem. And found the 11 gathered together. And them that were with them. Saying, the Lord is risen indeed. And has appeared to Simon, and they told these things, and they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known to them by the breaking of the bread. So them women were right after all. Usually we don't listen to what women says, but this particular time they happened to be right. They were right after all. He is risen. He's risen from the dead. Glory to God. And so, here's what was taking place, verse 36. And as they thus spake, when they were talking about it, Jesus himself stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Now I want to show you what can happen in the glorified body. Amen. They were sitting there eating, breaking bread. He just disappeared. He didn't have to go through the wall. He just appeared and disappeared. Alright, here was the 11. They were talking about what had happened. Them women were right after all because Simon seen him. A man seen him, they can't believe it now. See? Amen. And then watch what happened here. And then as they were talking, he appeared in the midst. He didn't have to walk through the door. He didn't have to do anything. He was just there. That's the way it is with us. He said he'd give us a body like unto his own body, didn't he? Praise God, and it's going to take place right here in our day and in our generation, right before our wondering eyes. Amen. As the coming of the Lord is completed. Amen. And it's already started. All right, he says here, and he said unto them, why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your heart? Behold, then he said, look at my hand. Behold my hands and my feet. That it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit has not flesh and bones as you see me to have. Boy, there's a mystery right there, ain't it? The spirit has not flesh and bones like you see me, but yet he appeared in the midst and disappeared. And when he appeared, he'd have flesh and bones and all that. And I want you to watch what else he did. And verse 40, and when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, now they was too shook up to believe. While they believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have you got any food? You know, if this ain't enough, have you got something to eat? Amen. And watch here what happened. Amen. Have you got any food? Verse 42. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. Well, they knowed what was good eating, didn't they? Amen. I was up at the Fannin County Inn the other day, and we had some of that fish. That was good eating there, I tell you. Amen. So they knew what was good. Have you got any meat? So they gave him some fish. And let's see, what did he eat with it? They gave him fish and the honeycomb. Now, I don't know. I've never tried fish and honey together. Amen. But evidently, it must go together all right. Amen. I guess you got to develop an appetite for it. So they gave him some fish and honey. And let's see what he done. Verse 4 and 3. And he took it and did eat before them. Now, that is something that'll shake you up, folks. All of them sitting there talking about whether he's rose or not. Them women said he was. Simon said he was. He's rose from the dead. And all of a sudden, here he is. Says, peace be unto you. And they disbelieved. They all shook up, you know, and couldn't believe because they... he said, well, you sure see my hands, see my feet? And they believe not for joy, you know. Well, he said, have you got anything to eat, you know? And he sat there and eat before him. Where did he come in? What door did he come in? He didn't come in at a door. He was just there. Amen. I'll tell you, he's here tonight. Not only is he here, the angel of the Lord is here. The Bible says the angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear God. Praise the Lord. I tell you, we're on the winning team, aren't we? Glory to God. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen. I'll tell you something else. We've come through the seven church ages. Amen. The battle's over. Amen. It's time to enter into that rest that God said he promised to the believers at the end time. Enter into that rest. Hallelujah. You know, a lot of people today, they're still in that mode of fighting and defense and having to survive. Amen. We're not having to survive. We've got victory. We're more than conquerors. We've come through the seven church age. The battle's over. The war is won. We won it. Amen. Just like Second World War. Amen. During that time, a lot of people had to suffer a lot and all. But we won the war. But there's people in the Philippines, they tell me, some of them Japs that got away up in there, way back up in the mountain, that still don't know the war's won. They still fight. Amen. That's like the church. They don't know the battle's won. They don't know the church age's over. They don't know the Lord has descended to heaven with a shout. Amen. They don't know victory is ours. Therefore, they walk around with defeatist attitude. Amen. They still in that mode of survival. We're not in the mode of survival. We're in the mode of being victorious. Hallelujah. Amen. More than conquerors through him that loved us. Praise God. We're not in the mode of preparing ourselves mentally to fight the next battle because we won the war. Amen. I've seen that battle of the Midway, and I've saw it several times. Every time it's on, I want to see it again, where the ships and all over there, the great battle. I tell you, this nation went through a lot, didn't it? But we won, hallelujah. Well, this church went through a lot, but praise God, we won. It's come through seven church age, the last church age messenger done come and gone, the battle's won. Amen. Now that's come to fruition, he's gathering the wheat in the garner, the tares he's binding in bundles. That's why he got these big revival so-called on the Trinity Network today. They're gathering in bundles, and sure, some of the people getting healed and so on like that. Amen. But God's got a bride, amen, that's already in the midst of the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He shall descend in heaven with a shout. Glory to God. So this chapter here is basically showing you how God can hide and reveal it. It can be taking place right in your midst. You sitting right by the table, eating with it, and don't know a thing's going on. Huh? You can walk down the road shoulder to shoulder, not even know a thing going on. Hallelujah. But once He opened your eyes, it makes a difference. You're in a new world. Well, I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. I'm in a new world. Amen. All things are new. Glory to God. All things passed away. Amen. Brother and sister, we're not in a survival mode. We're in the victorious mode. The battle's been won. The victory is ours. Hallelujah. Praise God. God let the church go through seven church ages, and we almost got whipped. Amen. A few times in the Second World War, we almost got whipped. I mean, the battle was in doubt. Amen. But what we've done in this nation, we pulled together. Amen. We began to build a lot after Pearl Harbor there. We began to build ships and a ration of gasoline, ration of sugar, everything. Throw everything into the effect. Get the job done. Get this war machinery going. Amen. And God was on our side, and we whipped the Japs. We whipped the Germans. Amen. And the battle's over, so we got victory. Hallelujah. But a lot of people don't know it's over yet. And that's the way it was with the church. See, it came through the seven church ages, and we won the battle. Hallelujah. Because Jesus Christ was our captain, being led by the Holy Ghost. Seven church ages. We came right through those dark ages in Europe when there was so little amount of the Holy Ghost. Looked like we couldn't survive. But God anointed a man named Martin Luther in the 15th century in Germany while he was in the Catholic Church. They had everything pressed out and all truth just about gone. We were just about to lose the battle. But here come the Holy Ghost. Spoke to a man named Martin Luther and said, "The just shall live by faith, it's not by works." Hallelujah. God began to bring around the dark ages. Amen. And that's what he did. He brought around the dark ages, and through John Wesley in England,
Amen. Sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the power of God, 1906. Amen. There was a man praying in California, and he began to speak in tongues. Amen. God revealed the same Holy Ghost the same way and all about like He did there on Azusa Street. Amen. The battle's over and we won. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's why a lot of churches don't believe in talking in tongues today. You know why? They made their rules and everything before God restored back these gifts. They're in that war. They don't know. They're in that there battling mode, you know. They're not in a victorious mode. Acts 2.38 said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. That's the way they did it in Bible day. Not many churches do it today, though, do they? How many knows it? Amen, because they don't know about these things. Brother and sister, amen, but God's brought us out. We've come out of dark ages. The book of the Psalms, the Psalmist said, who is this that cometh out of the wilderness, leaning on the breast of her beloved? Oh, I tell you who it is. It's the bride. She's been in a battle. She's been going through a dark age. She's been in a war, but the war's over. Hallelujah, the war's over. Praise God. Now let's don't throw out everything we got into making a war machine. Let's enjoy the fruits, amen, of the labor, and let's enjoy the spoils of the land. Hallelujah. Alright, now I don't mean to get off on that, but it's good anyway. I'm talking of the coming of the Lord here, see. And I just want to bring this in to get over. Okay. We read there that he said, have you any fish? He ate the fish and honey. That's verse 43. Verse 44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the laws of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Now watch verse 45. Then open he their understanding that they might understand the Scripture. Now that's what the only way you're going to get it. Amen. Then open he their understanding. Amen. There you say, well, I can't reckon how come those people couldn't understand. They walked side by side with Jesus and still they didn't understand. Well, now God said He would give unto us a fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints. They can rub elbows with them every day, and you still ain't going to know who they are unless God give you a revelation. Amen? Some people say, well, where's the fivefold ministry? Doesn't the Bible say there'll be a fivefold ministry to perfect the saints? Amen? You wouldn't know them if you saw a boxcar load of them. Amen? Unless God open your understanding. Amen, but if God opened your understanding, maybe like it was in Jesus' day, maybe some right in the mirror. Amen, can you say amen? See, that's the way God does these things. Then open he their understanding that they might believe, that they might see, that they might know. Praise God, amen, amen. That's the way it is on the coming of the Lord. We're going to get on just a little bit. When He opens your understanding, you're going to know about it. I'll just read on a little here since this is a good. Verse 46, it says, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise again the third day. See, at this time he was just getting the resurrection. He convinced them that he's resurrected. And watch this here, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witness of these things. Now, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, not only Acts 2.38 says the name of Jesus Christ here. In the book of Luke, it says repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name. And I'd like to ask you what His name is. It's Jesus. And Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. So He came, and Jesus said, the Holy Ghost, whom I will send, whom the Father will send in my name. So it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, Son, the Holy Ghost ain't a name. The name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's what He was talking about here. Praise God. And Peter understood it on the day of Pentecost. And then we go to verse 49. It says, He's giving saying talking about the Holy Ghost here. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them, and it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continuing in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Now watch it. He said he'd give them the promise of the Holy Ghost. That's how Christ came first, in the Holy Ghost. On the day of Pentecost, if you go to Acts 2, and I don't want to draw this out this long, this particular sermon here tonight, but you go into Acts chapter 1 and 2, starting chapter 1, you find there, amen, about the promise of the Holy Ghost that he would send unto them. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Ghost came, which was Christ himself came. But notice, not only did he come here and sit in the midst, when he led them out, all of a sudden they were standing there talking, all of a sudden, here comes Jesus going up in the air. Well, let's get to Acts 2. I tell you, since we're on this, I think it would be unfair to you not to read here in Acts chapter, Acts again in chapter 1 where he went up and show what happened here. All right, here we'll read Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Start 8, 9, 10 down through here. It reads like this. This is the same, talking the same thing here as we just reading. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witness unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and the othermost parts of the world. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards the heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said unto them, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you see him go into heaven." Amen. Now see, these are miraculous things, aren't they? But the disciples, their eyes were blind until he opened their eyes, and then everything became new. That's the way it is with this gospel. A lot of people can piddle around with it and be around it a little and just barely get their toes in the water. Amen. Never really realize what's going on. You got to dive in head first. Amen. Glory to God. That's the way when you're going in swimming in the river, it's kind of cold. Don't just try to wade in, put your feet in. No, just dive in, you know. It'll feel good in a few minutes. Amen. So that's the way it is with this gospel. Just dive in here. Amen. It's real and it's right. Those disciples after this, they gave their life for this thing. Amen. Old Peter, they said, was they came to crucify him, and he told his executioners, "So I'm not worthy to be die like my Lord." Said, "Turn me upside down." This is history, and they crucified him upside down because he didn't feel like he was worthy to be crucified like the Lord was. And Paul, when he went to Jerusalem, they said, "Paul, the man that if you go in Jerusalem, you're going to be bound." He said, "Don't you weep and break my heart. I'm not only willing to be bound for the name of Jesus, but I'm willing to die for the name of Jesus." That's Christianity, folks. First class Christianity. Amen. You get it like this, and you see it like this, when he opened your eyes, that's the kind of attitude you're going to have. Amen. You're going to believe it, and nobody ain't going to be able to change you or shake you away from it. You might have your days when you're up and down and you go through your valleys and peaks and mountaintops. That's the Christian life. Trials and tribulation is a normal part of every Christian life. How many will say amen? Amen. Sure it is. But the thing's real. So in order to see the things of the Lord, he has to open your eyes. There sat Jesus with them at the table talking when they had not the foggiest idea who he was. They just know this fellow sure is strange. He knows a lot about the Scripture. But when he opened their eyes, they knew who he was. Amen. I'll tell you, if he opened your eyes tonight, you're going to know something you ain't never known before. Amen. How many believe he can open your eyes tonight and let you see something you've never seen before? The very promise of God for this day and this hour and for this time come to pass right before your wondering eye. That's the way the Lord does things. Praise God. Oh, that was Jesus. Amen. Well, I'll tell you, he did the same thing through the apostles that he did through himself. Amen. Peter, Philip down in Samaria, went down there. The Spirit of the Lord bid him down to preach the Word of God to a eunuch and teach the Word of God. When he got through, the Spirit of God picked him up and sent him down over in another city. He just kept right on preaching. Brothers and sisters, that's the power of God. That's the Holy Ghost. That's what God's doing. The battle's over. Let's relish the victories that we've won. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We don't have to fight and wonder if baptism is right, whether there's one God or three gods, whether a denomination is right. They're all have erred from the way. Because the early church had no denomination. How many will say amen? There's no place where anybody ever joined the church. Amen. How many believe in that? I know today, Brother Zeman said he didn't hear about letters out in California where he lived, but they moved the letter from one church to another, and you go join, they'll fix up your letter and so on. Amen. They ain't in Bible days. How many knows it? They didn't do it in Bible days. The Bible says God added to the church daily such as should be saved. Come out of her, my people, if you do belong to one. And be not partaker of her sin, because there's something better outside. You're in the prison house. Amen. Get out here where you can breathe the free air of God and breathe that deep Holy Ghost breath down into your soul and be set free. Amen. Now, let's get on the coming Lord here a little bit. Acts chapter 2 is where he came back in the first part in the Holy Ghost, but if we get that, we're going to have to leave out some other. So let's go over here to 1 Corinthians. And see what Paul said about the coming of the Lord. And I'm sure that what I said was to show you that. Amen. Alright, here in 1 Thessalonians now, in the 4th chapter, we're starting with verse 13. And Paul's speaking, and listen to what Paul's saying now. But I would not have you to be ignorant. So he don't want us to be ignorant. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even that others which have no hope. In other words, don't cry for the dead. If they died in the Lord, they're better shape than you are. Amen. That's what he's saying. Verse 14 says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which are also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. That's when he comes, see? Will God bring with him? Alright, verse 15 it says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not hinder or prevent them which are asleep. In other words, they're going to come forth first. We're not going to hinder them. It says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Now here's a revelation. Here's what I've been working up to getting the revelation. Showing you it takes a revelation of God's word. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Amen. Now that shout begun several years ago. Amen, under the message of Brother William Branham. Amen, that was a shout that went around and around the world seven times. The Lord making his descent. Now, it's not complete yet. The coming's not complete yet. It's just like I showed you through these messages we're going through, just because the church is not totally perfected, it don't mean it's not going to be perfected. It is going to be perfected. So the Lord himself shall descend heaven with a shout. The shout went forth. Matthew's 25th chapter. Let's hold that and go to Matthew's 25. To hold it on the shout, because we're coming back to this. The Lord himself is going to descend heaven with a shout. And we'll go to Matthew's 25 and show you what's going to come to pass at the end time. Amen. And what has come to pass? You say, well, brother Howard, I don't see it. Well, so what? Those disciples didn't even see the Lord, didn't understand Him, didn't understand that He's risen from the dead, even though He stood right there and talked to them. They still didn't know it. But when God got ready to reveal it, He revealed it and opened their eyes. Now watch here, as we go to Matthew 25, He gives a parable here. Amen. And He tells about a voice come at the midnight hour to wake up the bride. And that's what we've heard. Matthew 25, and we'll start with verse 1. Jesus, looking ahead to a certain time in the future, He said, "Then," and that "then" is now. He said, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be like unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom," because He only comes at the end time. 10 virgins went to meet the bridegroom, and all 10 were virgins. Virgin means pure, undefiled. Amen. You can be saved and still not be married to the Lord. Amen. You can be saved and be left here when the rapture takes place. There's a lot of people going to be saved that not going in the rapture. John saw them in Revelation chapter 7, a multitude that came out of great tribulation, a number that no man could number, that had to wash their robe and make them clean in the blood of Jesus Christ in the tribulation period. Amen. John said, "These are they that came out of great tribulation." Now I'm showing you that the Lord comes. "Behold, the Lord descends heaven with a shout." And then things begin to take place. The battle's over. And that's what you got to realize. The battle's over. We're living in victory. We're living in the time of the coming. And that is now, today, right now, tonight. The shouts took place. There's a voice of the archangel going forth now through the fivefold ministry. Amen. Now listen to that sound. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be like unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom." He says, verse 2, "Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamp, but they took no extra oil to keep it burning." No revelation. They were saved, but they didn't have any revelational oil. See, that's the reason you come to the church. Paul said, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together." And he said, even more so, as you see that day approach, you come get some oil in your lamp. You come get some revelation. You come get some power. You can be a saved and you go to sleep. Peter spoke of those that have forgotten that they were purged from their old sin. And there are a whole lot of people like that today. They've been saved, but they've forgotten that they were purged. They no longer have the power of God. They no longer have the Holy Ghost giving them dreams and vision. They no longer have the visitation from spiritual beings. Amen. They no longer have the joy of the Lord. They no longer pray. They no longer rejoice in the Lord. They just drift along and they're on their way. That's all right. God's got something for them. It's a great tribulation. Amen. But he said, 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. It says the foolish, notice, they that were foolish, verse 3, they that were foolish took their lamps, but they took no oil with them. It says, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamp. In other words, a cruise of oil along. A lamp ain't worth a pinto bean with a wormhole in it on a dark night. You ain't got oil to put it and make it burn. Huh? What good's a lamp with no oil? Oh, I'm saved. I've been born again. And some people say, I've got born again when I was just a little boy or a little girl. I've been born again for 30 years. Yeah, and you've been dead ever since. Huh? Amen. That's what the Baptists say a lot, you know. And some of the other churches, well, talk about somebody, you know, they can live any old kind of life they want to. Do any old way you want to and never serve God, never do anything for God, never praise God, never live for God. But when they die, you know, they start flipping through the church book. Oh, yeah, he got saved when he was 5-year-old. Right here it is. Hallelujah, he's in heaven. Well, he may be and he may not, see. Amen. The Bible says they took the wives took their lamps and they carried some oil with them. If you've got some oil, amen, you'll have a light. Jesus said, amen, that He'd give us a light. Amen, make us lights. And He says, not to put it under a bushel. Well, this little light of mine, well, I'm going to let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Well, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine till Jesus come. Amen. Are you a light shine, or have your lamp gone out? I tell you, it's more to serving God than just saying, well, I got born again back in 1942. I got sick and I thought I was going to die, so I thought I better get right with God. And I got right, and well, since then I know I ain't doing right, but, you know, I can point back there. Hey, man, this is an everyday thing. It ain't got saved in 42. If you got saved in 42, hey, man, you ought to be a powerful Christian full of the Holy Ghost. If you walked in the light of the Word of God. Huh? Amen. Glory to God. I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, this is truth, isn't it? Amen. They took their lamps, the wives did, and they took some oil. That's why you're at church tonight, to get some oil, as ain't you just warming the spot on the pew. Huh? Amen. Hey, man, I tell you, we're here more than just a warmer spot on the pew. We're here to hear from heaven. We're here to see what the Lord got to say. We're here to see if God can still talk. If God can still take that Bible and make it live. If God can still give some oil. If God still light a fire in your soul, like the prophet said, it's like fire shut up in my bones. Amen. And Jesus, He said, if I don't holler and tell you about this, the stones will cry out. Amen. Is that right? Didn't He say it? Brother, this thing's real. There ain't no nonsense about this thing. It's real. And you can enjoy it. The battle's over. I'm rejoicing in victory. Alright, now notice verse 4 again. But the wise took oil in their lamps with their vessels. Now notice, while the bridegroom tarries, and that's what He did, coming all through seven church ages here, in the last age, He tarried while they thought He was coming certain day. It says here, verse 5, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. That's what it was coming in like before the great deliverance revivals of the 30s and 40s there, the whole church world just slumbering and sleeping. Amen. The wise and foolish together, slumbering and sleeping. It's all right to slumber and sleep. Amen. But keep an ear tuned. Amen. You know, there's some people, you can just more or less whisper, it's time to wake up, time to get up. Amen. They'll get awake just like that and snap to it. There's others you have to, I know Chris stayed all night with me last weekend or something or other. Time goes, God got eyes rolling out and back. I sat up, He went on the bed, and I sat up a while, He went to sleep on my side of the bed. Amen, I had to roll him over, wake up, you know, like a piece of cordwood rolling him around. Amen, I finally got him rolled over, I don't know if he ever woke up or not. Amen, but there's some people you can say, hey, time to get up. Whisper a little bit, and they wake up just like that. Some people got a clock set with them. You know, there's some people don't even have to set an alarm clock. They won't get up at 3 o'clock. They'll wake up. Hey, man, that's what you do, ain't Shirley? I tell you, that's good to be that. And especially spiritually. I tell you, y'all don't get up by alarm clock, do you? Hey, man, they just say they won't get up a certain time. All of a sudden, at that time, they'll wake up. Hey, man, I can't do that. Hey, man, if I go to sleep, I'm liable to sleep all day or something if I don't have something wake me up. Amen. So that's why these here foolish virgin. Amen. They just got so sound asleep they know nothing about oil. Now, what are you talking about, preacher? Oil? I don't know anything about it. If you'd been awake, you'd know. Huh? Listen at this here. But the wives took oil in their vessel. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. I'm on verse 6 now. And at the midnight hour, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Amen. That's that voice. The shout that gone forth. To wake up the not only the wise but the foolish. It's the coming of the Lord in the Spirit among His bride to be united with Him. We're to be married to the Lord, united to the Lord before the rapture. He's going to take His wife home. He's going to take her home with Him. Praise God. And she's going to be married to Him before she goes. What's Him? He's the Word. She's going to be married to the Word. She's going to be full of the Holy Ghost. She's going to have oil in her lamp, and her lamp's going to be burning. Praise God. So are you the bride? Do you want to be? Amen. Midnight came, and there was a cry made. He says, behold, the bridegroom, come, go out and meet. Then all the virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. See, the foolish, they fooled around, didn't do nothing, and didn't pray, and didn't just slumber and swell. Amen. When the time come to let their light shine, they didn't have no oil to make it burn. I'll tell you, it's time to let your light shine. Where's your oil? Oil is Holy Ghost. Huh? All is revelation. All is something you know where you know that you know that you know that you know. Amen. That when you turn the light on, it'll burn. I got faith when I flip this switch over here, the light will come on. Because the power's, the current's on. Amen. I got two lamps in there. They got some oil in them. If I strike them, light them, they'll burn. Why do I know they'll burn? Because they got wicks and they got oil in them. Huh? Now, if I ain't looked at them for the last 14 years, they'd probably all evaporate out and gone. Amen. To go dig them out and blow the dust off and try to get them burned. Amen. They ain't going to burn. Amen. That's where a lot of people is. They ain't even looked at their salvation, took care of it, and kept their salvation up to date. Amen. Their soul needs blowing the dust off. Amen. Some fresh Holy Ghost oil poured in their soul. The disciples, they were filled with the Holy Ghost again. Amen. The place where they were gathered together, it began to shake the whole house. Amen. You believe it? What it said in the book of Acts, the place was shaken where they were gathered together, and it said they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They already had it, but they need a refilling. I tell you, it's about time people get a refilling. Amen. Begin to dance in the Spirit and speak in tongues and shout the victory. Amen. Have vision and let the Lord Jesus Christ be real to you. Amen. Is that right? So the foolish, they didn't have no oil in the lamp. And they come to the wise. Hey, I know that you're a good Christian. I know that you've tried to live right. I know that you've been pretty faithful this thing. Hey, I need your help now. Hey, I ain't got but enough for myself. He's giving it though tonight. You can give it to Him. But I ain't got but just enough to get myself through. How many knows it? You can't give your Holy Ghost to somebody else. They got to give it to Him. And one of these days He's going to quit giving it, and then you ain't going to get it. And you're going to be just like you are. Let him that's filthy be filthy. Let him that's holy be holy. Let him that's full of the Holy Ghost be full of the Holy Ghost. Let him that ain't got the Holy Ghost be empty. Because the Lord's come. Amen. I tell you folks, this ain't nothing to play with, is it? How many knows it? It's pretty serious stuff. Amen. Because one of these days, even if the Lord don't come the next few years, he's going to come. Brother Jackson's figured it up from 2 days and so on. And I haven't traced out all his figures and all, but he says the 2 days that Israel would be away from God, and after 2 days he'd restore them. He said the way he figured that, it'd take us to 19 or to 2004 and a half. Amen. I tell you, ain't much time left, is it? I don't say that be the day or the hour or anything of that nature, but the point is, we're getting close. Israel in the homeland, the fig tree not only got lit. The Bible says when the fig tree starts putting forth its buds, that was 1948. It not only got buds on there, it's got leaves, it's got fruit. Amen, some big old ripe juicy figs hanging on it.
ready for the Lord to come.
Ready for two prophets to come. Amen. We're at the end time, folks. All right. He says here that the foolish, verse 8, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there not be enough for us and you, but go ye rather them that sell and buy for yourselves. Have you ever seen so much on TV buying and selling? Hey, amen. The gospel ain't buy, sell. Send me so much and I'll say this and that. Robert Shuler, he's getting all kind of little angels to sell and stuff. You give so much and I'll send you a little portion angel to hang on your Christmas tree. Huh? Hey, amen. Who cares about a little portion angel to hang on the Christmas tree? Be just as good to hang a dog's ear on him. Get just as much out of it. Amen. Amen. There ain't no gospel of that. There ain't a lick of gospel to it. Amen. His church now on the starting now next month, sometime now on the Christmas, they got angels on cables, girls on cables fly through the air and stuff like that. Oh, people come out of Hollywood, them Hollywood people come out there by the thousand, look up to see the angels flying through the air. He said, ain't nobody got angels flying higher than ours and better than ours. Ain't got nothing to do with the gospel. Go buy and to them that buy and sell. That's what they try and do, buy and sell and so on. Hey, amen. Ain't got a thing to do with the gospel. Watch this here. He says in the next verse here, verse 10. While they're trying to get, well, look here. They said, well, maybe we need to get prayed of. I don't know. When they see this thing begin to fall apart, the world begin to fall apart, this nation begin to fall apart, they said, well, maybe we need to get some of that Holy Ghost. Verse 10 says, and while they went to buy, and that's what they're doing now, they're out trying to buy, and so while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Now, that's not the rapture right there. Amen. That's not the translation. While he came, the revelational door shut. They can't get. There's people you try to explain serpent seed to them. I don't understand that thing. How could a serpent, how could a snake had sex with Eve? And you know, all kind of arguments. You never do say that anyway. The serpent was a guy. Amen. They can't understand why their eyes are withholding. When the door's shut, it's just like them disciples on the way to Emmaus. Jesus walked with them all day. They didn't know a thing in the world about who he was. But when he opened their eyes, they saw. They knew. And when the door of revelation is shut, you can talk till you turn blue in the face, and they'll still say, well, I just can't see it. I want this, but I can't see that. I don't know about that. You talk. Amen. What's happened? The door's shut. The bridegroom came. He's closed the door. He's perfecting his saints through the voice of the bridegroom as it goes forth in the fivefold ministry. The midnight cry was given through William Marion Brown, the seventh church age messenger. There was a crying aid. And that cry went around and around and around the world seven times through the seventh church age messenger prophet of Malachi 4 that came and preached the message. Amen. And here come the bridegroom directly behind. Out in Arizona, seven angels met with the prophet of God in 63. Amen. There's a picture. You can see the face of the Lord in the cloud. They said no moist could get up that high. 30-something miles high and 26 miles across. You can see the face of the Lord. Seven angels came to Brother Brown and said, go back east, open the seals up. Brother and sister, we're living when God's closing the door. He's closing the last page on this thing. Amen. What are you going to do about it? Well, I don't know. I ain't got too much dough. You need to know my problem. If you know my problem, you wouldn't even worry about me reading or praying or studying. I got so many problems. If you know the way you're going to have problems when the rapture takes place, when the bride's gone, you're still going to have problems. Amen. How many knows it? Amen. But you got to put first things first. Amen. Then the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, His righteousness, all these things be added unto you. Huh? Everything. Give unto God the first fruit of all your increase. But we usually do it differently. If we have anything left, we'll give it to God. You know, no, give Him the first. He don't want what you got left. Amen. If you can't give Him the first fruit of all your increases, He don't want anything. Amen. Boy, am I preaching hard to one. Woo-wee. Amen. That's the way God wants it. All right. Then He said the bridegroom came and the door was shut. Now watch. Here they come now. Verse 11 says, afterwards, see, we're still here on earth. The church's still here. Nobody's gone nowhere. Afterward came also the other virgins. Watch. Saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Lord, let us have some of that too. Get, open the door of revelation. Let us see this truth. But He answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, I know ye not. And then the warning said, watch ye therefore, for no man know the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Now watch what He said. They came knocking. Lord, we want some of this too. Lord, we want to understand the revelation. We want to understand the book of Revelation. We want to understand about God sending the prophet. We want to understand about the shout. No. They came and they knocked. And He said, I know you not. Now, what kind of knowing is? In the Old Testament, always, when a man married his wife, like, we'll give you an example of Isaac taking Rebekah into the tent. He knew her there. See, that knowing. When you go into your wife, you seal that marriage, intimate relationship. In Bible language, that's what they call knowing. He knew his wife, and she conceived and brought forth a child. He knew his wife, see? Amen. In other words, you've never been intimate with Jesus. You've never been united to the Word. You've never had that spiritual, intimate relationship with Him in the tent. Isaac took Rebekah in the tent and he knew her there. She was married to him through the intimate relationship that God ordained. Amen. And these others here, foolish virgins, they never was married to the Lord. Therefore the door was shut, the rapture took place, they were left here on earth. Now, let's get back over here. Notice at the midnight hour, a shout was made. Let's go back to Thessalonians real hurriedly here. Let's see how am I doing here. Oh, I've got just a few more minutes. I've got to hurry. All right. Glory to God. In the book of Thessalonians now. 1 Thessalonians. We're the exact place we were at. Amen, amen. I'm trying to hurry if I can. All right. Now notice here, we were on verse 16, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. It says, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. That was that shout at the midnight hour that woke the virgins up. Amen. And then it says, with a shout and with a trump, with the voice of the archangel. That's the ministry that's taking place. And with the trump of God and the dead in Christ shall rise. Eventually, the dead in Christ is going to rise. Because there's going to be the angel going to blow the trumpet in the spirit and the dead's going to hear it and they're going to get up out of the grave. In Bible days, Matthew 27, the Bible says, many of the old saints that slept, they rose from the dead. The graves were open and they came into Jerusalem and was seen of many. Praise God. Amen. It's going to take place maybe one of these mornings. And we're still around here and the Lord don't take us home before then, maybe one morning I'll get up and make some coffee. Amen. Here comes Joyce. Sit down and say, I'll take a cup of that. Oh, praise God. The dead in Christ are going to rise. Amen. This thing's real. Jesus rose, didn't He? Didn't He rise? Didn't He go into Emmaus? Didn't He ate fish? He ate honey? He could appear and disappear. The dead's not that far from us. It's another dimension. Amen. Paul said we're made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Praise God. So the trumpet's going to sound and the dead's going to rise. We're in this thing now. It's not something that's going to take place some other time. The shout's gone forth. The virgin's been woke up. Amen. The wise being married to the Word. That's the reason you love the Word and won't settle for nothing else. Some people say, well, I don't know. Buzzing myself was eating with a brother, I believe 2 or 3 weeks ago, was riding around with him, Simon, we was, and the brother, he was talking about, well, you know, yeah, I kind of see what y'all say. I said, won't you and your wife come over? Well, you know, we, their church is close, you know. So there's a Baptist church over there. She goes to it maybe, and you know, it ain't all that much difference, you know, and especially she don't really realize and think that there's any difference Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, just be a Christian. Hey, man, how about the Word? What do you say? Somebody's getting woke up. The dead in Christ is going to rise first. Notice the shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And it says, verse 7, then we which are alive, here's what's going to happen to us. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort ye one another these words. Let's go to Revelation 10:1. We're going to close you. Amen. How do we see it? He opened our eyes. This is what's taking place now. Amen. Amen. About a year ago, Joyce just been gone a year, and Brother Loggins over here, he said, Brother Junior, reckon I could tell Joyce something, and his mom and dad done gone on, so he said, reckon I could tell Joyce something, she'd remember it and tell when she get over there. Well, he didn't have to. 6 months later, he was there too. Amen. They're going to come forth. Amen. I'll tell you, this ain't no nonsense, folks. This thing is real as it can be. Now listen what Revelation chapter 10 says. After the seals opened, and that's what took place in 63, God sent a prophet and opened the 7 seals. The voice went around the world. And Revelation chapter 10 verse 1. And John says, and I saw another mighty angel come down. Come down. Now it tells us one thing. He hadn't been here. He hadn't been here since the early church when he came in the form of the Holy Ghost. When the church fell away, he became a high priest to make intercession. But now that the battle's won, the battle's over, victory's ours, here he comes. To be with us, to marry us, to unite with us. Amen. At the midnight hour, a shout was given. That shout went around the world, and here come the Lord. The shout said, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Now watch. And I saw a mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, a rainbow upon his head, none other than Jesus. And his face was as the sun, and his feet as pillar of fire. Had in his hand a little book open, that's Paul's writing. And he set his right foot upon the sea and left foot, and it goes on there, but I don't believe I'll tarry on with that. I just want you to see. Who is this? His face like a sun, rainbow. That's none other than Jesus Christ. But he don't come in a natural body. It says angel. There's angels here tonight, but you don't see them. The Lord's here tonight, but you can't see him unless God do like he did those disciples on the way to Emmaus. Open your eyes. I got a call. I guess it back was the fall, last fall, wasn't it, Brother Zim, when Martha saw that vision, the Lord. I got a call one morning at 6 o'clock in the morning. It was Martha Sugar down from a church down in South Carolina. She said, Brother Ben, I hope this ain't too early to call. And I said, oh no, what's wrong? She said, hallelujah, glory to God, amen. And just praising God. She said, I've been up all night. I'm just praising God. I'm so excited I can't sleep. And I said, well, what's going on? She said, well, I've been discouraged for a good little while, a little bit, been down now. So I usually get some of the tapes and listen to them. Said, I usually get picked back up. But it seemed like I just still stayed discouraged. And said, the Lord says, be steady or something this thing. I'm going to give you a vision. And all of a sudden, she just went into vision. She said, I didn't go to sleep. There she was in the service, and I was up just to preaching away. And so everybody started looking back, you know, looking back. And she looked back, and there sat the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was just nodding his head, smiling, while I was preaching this gospel. Amen. She didn't even go to bed that night. She shouted all night long. I tell you, this thing is real, folks. He's here tonight. He just might not let you see him, but you can know it by revelation. He was with disciples on the way to Emmaus. They didn't know it till he opened their eyes. And he can open your eyes tonight. You might not see him per se in a personal form, but you can see them in the Word and know what I'm telling you is the truth. Amen. That these things are from the Lord. The Lord Himself shall descend to heaven. Then as He descends heaven, what kind of ministry do we have? It goes right to Ephesians 4. He gave some apostles, some prophets, something for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. And He said, Ephesians chapter 5, that you would be washed by the water of the Word. You got to be a Christian in it before you get washed. What are you washed from? Ideas, opinion, creeds, and dogma. Amen. A lot of people treat this thing so light, you never even know they're a Christian. Unless they just happen to come to church or something. Amen. They never say, Lord, I praise you. I was going to LJ here a few weeks back, and I just got praising the Lord, and I think I was listening to a gospel tape, praising the Lord, and got so in the Spirit, I went all the way by where I was going. Amen. And I was going up to a little place and get some doors or something, and when I come to myself nearly, here I was going down the road just praising the Lord. I said, now, have I passed the place I was going, or have I not got to it yet, you know? So, well, I'll tell you what I'll do, talking to myself. I'll just drive a little bit. I know this road real good, and I'll recognize and I'll think where I'm at, you know. Amen, brother and sister. You can get lost in the Spirit, can't you? Amen. I was just driving just as good as I could. Somebody say, you might have a wreck like that. No, that's the safest driving I do when I'm driving in the Spirit. Amen. Do you love Him tonight? How many see the Lord Himself descend to heaven with a shout? Amen. It took place, folks. Amen. He came in the Spirit. Now, He will come and rapture us out. He'll come after tribulation in the physical form. Amen. How do we know it? You have to have your eyes open to see it. Amen. Now, we're getting ready for the next phase of it. And that'll be the trump. It'll sound in the Spirit and the dead to begin to come among us. You say, preacher, don't talk like that. That's nonsense. Well, let me tell you something. You read the book of Acts. Jesus was with the disciples 40 days and nights after the resurrection. And the Old Testament saints didn't go into glory till He went. He led captivity to captivity, gave gift to He led them in glory. So 40 days and nights, they're just walking around here visiting people, and many people in Jerusalem saw them. You believe that? Amen, brother. It's the truth, isn't it? Many people saw them, talked with them, ate with them, or whatever, you know. And God let some of the graves open. He wouldn't have to let the grave open, but He wanted to bear testimony. They went out to the graveyards. Here's where Abraham buried. By crackers, he must have rose the dead, the graves open. Oh, Aunt Susie over here, Sarah, she was buried over here. Let's check her tomb. My Lord, ain't nobody. It's open up. Ain't even a bone in there. Amen. Here comes Sarah. Said, no, I'm not in there. I'm right here. Amen. That's the reality of this thing, folks. Amen. Just another dimension. Amen. So this ain't foolishness. It's reality. It's real. Amen. So the Lord Himself has made that descent, that He come in the form of an angelical form. Amen. And the other stages to take place in the final stage of it, which will be next 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years, something I'm projecting. Amen. And the dead will get up and walk among us. Then we'll all get together down here. See, the dead will be raised, we'll be changed, and then we'll be called up together. See, we're not ain't nobody going up till all go. Amen. Those that died, they're going to raise, but they ain't going until we're changed. Maybe 30 days, maybe 40 days. I don't know. It's 40 days in Bible days they walked around. But once we see them, I'm pretty sure we'll have faith, knowing it's so close. We'll probably get so dedicated to God, we'll move right into that new body. Do you love Him now? Amen. All right. Let's just stop this off right here. Let's pray.